Now let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10. And we're looking at verse 7. We'll be studying down to verse 18 of John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." These verses of Scripture that are prior to these verses of Scripture, verses 1 through 6, are a parable that Jesus spoke, but the people to whom he spoke didn't understand him. That is, the religious leaders of Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And in these first verses of Scripture in chapter 10, Jesus described himself as the true shepherd, the one who has come according to this prescribed and prophesied way. Jesus is not an intruder. Jesus is not a person who has come and climbed over the wall as the thieves and robbers do. But Jesus Christ is the true shepherd who has come the way the Bible had prophesied that he would come. Now Jesus presents himself to those who are listening to him preach in the temple that he is the true shepherd as well as being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And here he presents himself as the good shepherd being the door to the sheep. Verily, verily, which is truly, truly, or surely, surely, we would say, if it isn't translated, it would be amen, amen. Those are the words that are translated, verily, verily, or surely, surely. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And by that, he means that he is the way of access. When we think of a door, we think of that which swings on hinges. But think of the entrance and not the doors themselves. Jesus is saying, I am the way that men enter in. I am the access. Jesus said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now that doesn't mean that every human that's ever come before him, but every religious leader that ever claimed to be the anointed one, Christ, or the Messiah of the Jews. Everyone who came before Jesus and claimed to be the Good Shepherd, Jesus said he is a thief or he is a robber. The word that's translated thief is klepto. You've heard of kleptomaniacs? And the word that's translated robbers means one who plunders by violence and open force. So there are two kinds of false shepherds. That is, they are different in the way they try to steal the sheep or influence the sheep. You know, a kleptomaniac is so secretive that they steal things in stores and people are rarely ever able to catch them. They steal by deception, and they steal secretly. So Jesus is saying, I am the door of the sheep. I came legitimately. And everyone who came before me, they did not come legitimately. And they came secretly and deceptively, while some came as plunderers, and they came by violence and used open force to try to control and to steal the sheep. But Jesus said, but the sheep did not hear them. They could not do what they had come to do. They could not deceive the sheep. They could not by violence take the sheep. And Jesus said, then I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the means of access. But access to what? Or access to whom? I am the means of access to God the Father. I am the means of access to personal righteousness before God the Father. If you want to know God the Father, then I am the access to God the Father. I am the door, singular. And if any man would enter in, he shall be saved. That is, if you will use me as the access to God, then you will be safe and sound in the care of the Good Shepherd. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. That is, he shall be a sheep of my fold, and I will take him in and out through this door of access to the sheepfold, and he will be fed and he will be cared for. You remember David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he speaks of the shepherd being led in pastures of green. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. I am the access to God. I am the way you get to God. When you use me as the access to God, then I become your shepherd, and I am the good shepherd, and you will be able to go in and out and find pasture, and you will be cared for by me, for I am the good shepherd. Jesus then contrasts himself with those who have been imposters down through the years. In verse 10 he states, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The word thief here is again kleptos, which means like a kleptomaniac. That's how we would interpret what Jesus says. This one comes to steal by fraud, secretly. And then this person, he says, the thief comes but for to steal, same word. And to kill, that is, to kill for a feast. In other words, the thief is coming not simply to steal a sheep so it could take it home and it could be his pet sheep. He comes so he can steal the sheep and make an offering of the sheep, and to destroy, that is, to bring that shepherd to utter ruin and to utterly destroy that shepherd, that sheep. There's no doubt that Jesus is talking about himself and those who are motivated and led by Satan. You've either got the good shepherd or you've got someone who wants to use you. You've got someone who wants to steal what you have, to possess who you are and what you've done. And their aim is to bring you to utter, complete, and total ruin. That's the aim of the false shepherds. Jesus said, "That's not true of me. I haven't come to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy and murder. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The word life here is the word that means the life that comes from God. That gift of breathing and your heart pumping and your eyes seeing. It's not just biological life, but it is life lived. It is life in its totality. And Jesus said, "I have come that they," the sheep, "might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And we have heard people stress this verse of Scripture so many times in preaching what we call the prosperity gospel, that Jesus came so that you could have a prosperous and physically prosperous and monetarily abundant life. But the word that's translated abundantly means above the ordinary measure. He is saying that that he has come so that he, being our good shepherd, we can live better than the ordinary life. Look, if you're a sheep and you don't have a good shepherd, then what kind of life do you live? You live a life of neglect, a life of not having your needs met, a life of wandering from one place to another and perhaps being endangered. You literally live below the ordinary. And then there is the shepherd who is a consistent shepherd, and the sheep can live an ordinary sheep's life with this person. But Jesus said, I have come so that I can be your good shepherd, and as such, I'll make your life better than ordinary. I'm going to lead you to green pastures, greener. I'm going to make sure you have water to drink. I'm going to make sure you're safe in a good fold. It's the difference in how you're cared for. And this is what this word abundantly means. He said, no, it means that God is going to bless you and you'll be a millionaire 10 times over because God wants you to be rich. That's not what this verse means, and it isn't what it says. It means that Jesus is the good shepherd. And you say, well, does that mean that never anything would happen to you? Well, a good shepherd shared the sheep, didn't he? Or a good shepherd every once in a while killed a sheep, made it. It doesn't mean you're safe from any problems. As a sheep, you're going to be what a sheep is and get happen to you and have happen to you what happens to sheep. But if Jesus is our shepherd, then he's the good shepherd, and he takes care of the sheep, and our lives will be better than the lives of those sheep who have just the ordinary shepherd as their person who cares for them. And of course, figures of speech always break down somewhere. What Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. You can depend on me to take care of you and to do it better than ordinary. And I like that statement that Jesus makes. Now, the good shepherd will die for his sheep. Notice verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, the word good doesn't mean that he is a person who's kind and that's the end of his characteristic. But the word good is a rather complicated word, at least the word that's translated good here. It means a perfect inward nature, manifesting and demonstrating itself in outward shape or form. Now, it's got two characteristics. It means something that's good inside, and it manifests the goodness by what it does, that it is genuine, that it is perfect in form and in one's nature. What does it mean when it states, or Jesus said, I am the good shepherd? It means that Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd. And that's why he can give you above an ordinary life, because he is the perfect shepherd of the sheep. His perfection as a shepherd is manifest in his willingness to die for the sheep. And there's where Jesus makes a difference between the good shepherd and the ordinary shepherd, or even those who have been hired by the owner of the sheep to take care of the sheep. And the Bible tells us they are called hirelings. Verse 12, but he that is an hireling. And there's really nothing complicated about the word hireling. It just means one who works for pay. Now, there's a difference that I want you to notice. Some people work for money, and some people work and are paid money so they can work. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Think about it. If you work for money, that's different than working to do your job and getting paid for it. Because people who work for money will generally not do a good job. But people who do their job because they mean to do a good job and get paid for it are better workers. We all have to get paid for what we do in order to live, but there's a difference in working only for that paycheck and working to do a good job. Jesus said there are some people that are hired to take care of the sheep, and they are the money grubbers. And the Bible tells us that a hireling is not necessarily the chief shepherd. As best I can tell as I study the Word of God and related material, the hireling might be someone that you would engage to simply watch the sheep for a little while you went home and rested, or while there was something else that you had to be doing. Perhaps you might even be ill, and in your interim period there was a hireling. Some people say that when all of the shepherds brought their sheep into the village to spend the night, when they weren't out in the meadows and out in the field away from the village where they would have to spend the night with the sheep, that they'd bring them in and they'd put them all in one fold, and they would hire somebody to watch the sheep at night while they were at home with their families. But we do know that a hireling is a person who's doing it for the money. And when the hireling sees the wolf, he leaves the sheep and runs for his life. Why? Because the sheep are not his. That's the difference that Jesus is saying about himself and others. The person who does it for money will run when they are threatened. But a person who owns the sheep and who is the shepherd of the sheep, he will defend the sheep with his life. Because of this person, the hireling's abandonment of the sheep, then the sheep are caught and they are scattered. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth. Why? Because he is a hireling. That's how Jesus explains it. Why does the hireling flee? Because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. What does the hireling care for? He cares for the paycheck. He cares for the money. Now, I know that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, but I believe there is an application that we can make today. And I believe there are people in the ministry who are in the ministry for the money. Now you say, but ministers don't make that much money. Well, some ministers don't make that much money. But there are some who are in the ministry who make a lot of money. How do they do it? By abusing the sheep. They don't care for the sheep. They are where they are for the money. And one way you can tell the hireling is that he handles all of his own money. I don't handle the money at Southwest Church. Brother Calloway and others handle the money. They count the money. They know how much money is given here. They use the money at the direction of the church. I am not a person who wants to even handle the money. I don't want to be the one who collects it and deposits it, and I'm not. But if preachers are in charge of the collection, of receiving it, of counting it, then you need to be suspicious. And there are many hirelings in the ministry today who are in it because they get money. Now, as I said, if you really want to make a lot of money, don't go in the ministry unless you want to be a hireling. Hirelings can make a lot of money because they don't care what they feed the sheep. They just want the sheep to be happy. And they like to fleece the sheep a lot too. You'll get shared a whole lot more than you will in from the honest pulpits. The hireling flees. Why? Because he is a hireling. That's his nature. That's his being. Now in verse 14, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd again. How is he the good shepherd? Because I know my sheep, and I am known of my sheep. That is, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And Jesus said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There is an interrelated knowledge. Jesus said, I know my sheep know me, I know my Father, and my Father knows that I will lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't it great that God knows your name? Isn't it great that you know God's name? And isn't it great that the one who saves you and who is your good shepherd knows God the Father, and God the Father knows him? We're not strangers one to another in the family of God. The good shepherd has other sheep. In verse 16, Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus looks beyond his immediate congregation as he speaks to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And I believe that Jesus is saying, there will be other Jews who will believe as I continue my personal ministry, and this sheepfold will be enlarged, and I will have more sheep because there are the Gentiles who will be saved by believing and accepting me as the promised Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. The good shepherd will voluntarily give his life. Notice what Jesus says in verse 17. Therefore, points back to something. Therefore, what does it point back to? It points back to Jesus knowing his sheep, and the sheep knowing him, and God the Father knowing Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ knowing God the Father, and the fact that Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Therefore, says Jesus, doth my Father love me. Why? Because I will give my life for the sheep, that I might take it up again. Jesus makes an application of his metaphor. He will not be slain, but he will be a willing sacrifice for the sin of the sheep. In other words, Jesus isn't going to be executed while he's sleeping. He's not going to be killed while he's sleeping. But when the enemy comes, he will voluntarily make of himself a sacrifice so that the sheep are spared and their lives are spared. His death will be voluntary. Jesus said, no man can kill me without my consent. I will not be executed by a secret murderer. I will lay my life down. I do it voluntarily. I have power to lay it down. There are two words that are translated power in the New Testament generally. One of them is the word we get dynamite from, dunamis, and it just means inherent power. And another one is what we call delegated authority. That is power in the sense that we have, it is derived power. It is power to get things done because of authority. In other words, you would be authorized to do something, and then you could be given power to do what you've been authorized to do. Well, Jesus is saying, I have the authority to lay my life down. Where did Jesus get his authority to lay his life down? He got it from God the Father. I have been authorized by God the Father to lay my life down, and I have been authorized to take my life up again. You know, we get the idea sometimes that Jesus operated on his own while he was down here on the earth, that he was just sort of making it up as he went along. But we've learned that Jesus Christ always did those things that he had heard from his Father. He did the things that he and his Father had discussed. Jesus said, what I'm telling you, I'm telling you what my Father told me to tell you. And Jesus says, I have come from God the Father. I have power, authority to lay my life down. Not authority from the Roman government, not authority from the Sanhedrin, but I have authority from God the Father to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus said, I can dismiss my spirit because God said I can. And I can call my spirit back into my body and be resurrected because God said I can. I have the authority to do it. This commandment, Jesus said, have I received of my Father. Jesus used the word commandment, and it means a principle or a precept, a law, if you please, and that's why it's translated commandment. This principle was given to me by my Father. I have been handed it by my Father, and I have the right to do what my Father has given me authority to do. And then you'll notice there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Some of them were thinking, well, I believe that this man might have something going here, and others were saying, he has a devil and is mad. Why are you listening to this fella? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The miracle that Jesus did in chapter 9, still in their hearts, still in their minds. This blind man receiving his sight has been a very disturbing circumstance, and they're troubled by it. And they're saying, look, if this man was the devil, if this man was of the devil, if this man had a demon, if this man was insane, if he was crazy, he couldn't do the things that he's done. And there was a division because of the people's thinking toward Jesus. Some said this man is mad. He's crazy. Others said we're not sure. Some people said we believe that Jesus Christ is all that he said that he was. And if you look at the very last verse of chapter 10 and verse 42, you're going to see this again. And many believed on him there. That's how this whole segment, this whole incident of his being at Jerusalem, healing the blind man, all going back to the temple, all these things we've studied for the last several Sundays, creates a division in Israel, especially at Jerusalem. Some despise the Lord. They believe he's crazy. Some think he's a liar and an imposter. Some think he's a prophet. But there are some who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's true, maybe even in this building today. Probably none of you think that Jesus was crazy, that he was a madman. But you're really not sure about believing in him as the Son of God and believing into him as your Savior. But I can assure you that Jesus is the good shepherd. And if you will believe in him and trust him, you can live above the ordinary. No matter what happens, you can have the good shepherd. You can really read Psalm 23 and mean every word of it. The Lord is my shepherd. Receive him and take him today as we stand and sing.